Open your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 13. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. Of course, every Baptist preacher in the world always says that. But Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 5. The writer of Hebrews, who I believe the writer is the Apostle Paul. If you don't believe that, that's fine. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the writer says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, consider the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in his name." Now, we just named a bunch of things that we're thankful for, and certainly all those things are things to be thankful for. And right here in this chapter, you'll notice that this chapter reminds all Christians of even more things that we need to be thankful for. Now, one of the most explicit Bible verses relating to the matter of thanksgiving is 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and it says this: "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." If you are not giving thanks, if you are not thankful, then you are out of the will of God, according to that passage. This verse commands every believer to give thanks to the Lord, not for everything, but in everything. It says, in everything, give thanks. Okay? And there's a big difference there. Certainly, we ought to be thankful, not just because we're told to be thankful, but because we have much to be thankful for. However, I've discovered that the thankfulness that we have is sometimes a very fickle thing. For example, we're thankful for our health when we have it. We're thankful for our families and our homes when we have them. We're thankful for our financial stability when it's there. We're thankful for the things that we have. But you know, the truth of the matter is, all those things are subject to change. If you think about it, our health can get bad. Families can split up. Bank accounts can run dry. What do we do then? I mean, do we just stop being thankful? How would that affect our thankfulness? Well, it wouldn't affect our thankfulness as long as we learn to look beyond those things that can change to those things that cannot change. In other words, as long as you focus on the right things, you'll be thankful for all of them. But if you focus on the wrong things, your thankfulness it'll be short-lived. If the only thing that you live for is your bank account, then you're not going to be very thankful when that bank account's no longer there. And if the only thing you live for is your family, I love my family too, but if the only thing you live for is your family, if something were to happen, then your thankfulness is going to go down with it. But if we focus on those things that never change, and that's what this passage is talking about, if we focus on the things that can never change, that can never be diminished in any way, when we focus on those things, then even if we don't have those other things, the finances and all those things, we can still be thankful. Amen? Now, if you'll notice here in Hebrews chapter 13, we're given the first unchanging thing for every Christian to be thankful for. And obviously, that's our Savior. These verses tell us that just just a few of the unchanging glories of the Lord, and things revealed here that should cause us to be thankful to Him all the time. Notice in verse 5, we're told of the Lord's never-ending presence. Verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Never means never, folks. The same way everlasting means everlasting and eternal means eternal. If He says, I will never leave thee or forsake thee, you know what that means? Under no circumstances, from the time you get saved for all of eternity, will He ever leave you. That is unchanging. Now, you can step away from Him and you can get away out of fellowship, but He ain't going anywhere. Now, I don't know about you, but that's something to be thankful for. That even when we get to the point where we are at our worst, the Lord's still there. When we get to the point where we are our faith is down so low, we can't even see our faith anymore because whatever's going on in life has got our faith knocked down, the Lord's still there. And even though we don't sometimes think that He's there, and sometimes we don't see the impact of Him being there, one of these days when we get to heaven and we understand that everything that we went through as Christians, the good times and the bad times, the Lord was right there with us the entire time. And when those times came that you were at your wit's end, you're at the end of your rope, the Lord was right there with you and you didn't have to go through it alone. Now that's something to be thankful for. That's something to be thankful for. Regardless of where the path of life leads us, believers will never walk alone. Jesus tells us in Matthew 28:20, He says, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Certainly all of us should be thankful because the Lord is always with us. But not only do we have the Lord's never-ending presence to be thankful for, we also have the Lord's never-ending assistance to be thankful for. Look, if you would, at verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is going to, not only is He with you all the time, but He's helping you all the time. All the time. And the idea here is when we're in need, the Lord runs to our aid. He's always there for us, helping us in time of need, giving us a strength when we're weak, picking us up when we're down. And how can we not be thankful for something like that? To have somebody like that. We have the Lord's never-ending presence. We have His never-ending assistance. We also have the Lord's unchanging presence. If you look at verse 8, it says this, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. One of our greatest sources of thanksgiving tonight is the truth that Jesus never changes. He was what He was then is what He is now. The things He loved and loved back then when He was on this earth the first time, the things He loved now. The things that He loved back when during creation, same thing He loves now. The things that He hated back then, same as does now. Nothing changes. Boy, I'm thankful for that. I tell you this, folks, if you know me for very long, you know that I cannot stand change. Now, there are some things, like I've told many before, that I'm thankful there are some things that have changed because some things have changed for the better. I mean, I love indoor plumbing. I'm thankful that we don't have to go out to the outside, especially in this state. I'm thankful for those things. But for the most part, when somebody says, well, if you vote me in, you'll get change. I might automatically vote for somebody else. I don't like change. I figure this, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Amen? That's just my thinking. Now, if you think different, that's fine. But I'll tell you this, I get a lot of comfort in knowing that the God I serve today is the same God I read about in the Old Testament 4,000, 5,000 years ago. And I don't have to wonder every day if He's going to change His mind on what He likes and what He doesn't like and what's acceptable and not acceptable. I don't have to worry about, you know, is He going to move with the crowd and move with the fads. I don't have to worry about that. You know, I could pick up my Bible and I know that today the Lord loves this thing, and I know tomorrow when I pick up that same Bible, He still loves that same thing. Amen? And that's something to be thankful for. And so, He is still the I Am. He still possesses all power of heaven and earth. The Lord is always with us. He's always helping us. He never ever changes. And we should be thankful for that, for a Savior like that. The second unchanging thing for every Christian to be thankful for is not only our Savior, but every believer should be thankful for our wonderful salvation as well. If you look at verse 9, Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, he says. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. You know, I read about the Old Testament and how they had to use the blood of bulls and goats. And I understand that during that time, I mean, God has a time for everything. And God knew that from the foundation of the world when the Messiah would come and all that. But I'm thankful we don't live in the Old Testament. Because, I mean, not obviously for the food restrictions, but and having to keep all those laws, you know, in order to be obedient to the Lord. But to think that, you know, during those times, when you offered a sacrifice of blood of bulls and goats to have your sins covered, those people, after that day, would go home. And probably on the way home, they had an evil thought. On the way home, they did something that they shouldn't have done, or they didn't do something that they should have done. And so by the time they made it to their bed that night, they already knew, hey, listen, my sins are on me again. I can't wait till next year where I can offer more blood to wash these things or to cover these sins. But not for us. For us, the moment you were saved, your sins, all your sins, past, present, and future, were washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. See what that means? That means you can go to bed at night knowing that no matter what happens, you're saved and you're going to heaven. Your sins have been washed away. You don't have to worry about being under the condemnation of the sin anymore. You don't have to worry about being under the curse of the law anymore. You're saved. And that is a great salvation. That's something to be thankful for. And we got to remember, too, that eternal life that's given to us, a lot of people forget this, but it did cost. Your salvation did cost. In fact, it cost the Savior his life. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." That's what your salvation cost. It was not free. Your salvation is free to you, but it wasn't free to the Lord. He paid with his life. And so our salvation cost God the life of his Son, and his death on the cross what provided salvation for you and me. And even though he knew what we were and what we would be like even after we're saved, he still died on the cross for us. Here's another thing that will never change that we should be thankful for. And that is not only our Savior, not only our salvation, but also our separation. If you look at verse 13, it said, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." The call of this verse is for us to do on the outside what he's already done on the inside. That is, he set us apart on the inside through the redemption of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ. And his call is for us to take a stand for Christ outside this church, in our society, and bear the reproach of Christ. Matthew 16:24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." We ought to thank the Lord that he has made a change in us. In other words, none of us are perfect. But the moment you got saved, the Lord began a work in you. And that work is to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. And if you have been growing even a little bit since you got saved, you are more like Christ today than you ever have been. And we should continue to grow in Christ. And I'm telling you this, I'm thankful that the Lord is doing that work on the inside. Because think about who you were before you got saved on the inside. Now, I'm not saying that you're sinless, because certainly in the flesh you're not. But if you've been growing in Christ, even though we're all still sinners, if you've been growing in Christ, you're more like Christ today than what you were a year ago. You're more like Christ on the inside now than what you were before you got saved. And how many of you have ever met somebody who, when they got saved, now you can't even recognize that guy's like a totally different person? That's the work that he does on the inside. And he's doing that work inside of you, too, if you're growing in Christ. We should be thankful for that. Aren't you thankful that you're not the person that you used to be? Yeah, we all should be thankful for that. I tell you this, I don't want to be the person I used to be. I don't want any part of it. And we ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be thankful for our Savior, our salvation. We ought to be thankful for our separation. Then we also should be thankful for our sanctuary to come. Our sanctuary to come. Again, we're reminded that, you know, we're living in a world that's constantly changing. And if all of our hopes are placed in this world, then we're going to be disappointed a whole lot more than we're going to be happy. However, the child of God can rejoice in the fact that this world is not the end for us. Verse 14 tells us that there is something better just down the road. It says, "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." We seek one to come. You know what city we're seeking? The New Jerusalem. Why? Because that's going to be our home, folks. And we can thank the Lord tonight that when this journey's over with, we have a city waiting on us where we can rest from our labors, where we can enjoy the sweet presence of the Lord. And I'm going to say this, and I would pray that I have the Lord give me grace when my time comes. But you know, a lot of Christians today fear death. They do. I mean, I guess the scientists say that we fear death because we have this survival that put in us the will to survive. But a lot of Christians today fear death, and when they get news from the doctor, or they get news from, you know, different things, they get really nervous, and they get depressed, and they get down, they get discouraged. But may I remind you of something, that as a Christian, there is no need to fear when it comes to that. You know why? How many of you want to go to heaven? You're looking forward to seeing that news, that city of Jerusalem? How do you think you're going to get there? Amen? Now see, we don't think that way whenever we get the good news. But we should. Well, when we get the bad news. But we should. Amen? We should say, listen, if it's the Lord's will for me not to live anymore, well then I guess it's my time to go see the city. Amen? Now let me ask you something. Isn't that something to be thankful for? That you could live this life with that kind of hope, to where when somebody says, well, you know, the doctor says this, or a doctor says that about your loved one, and all of a sudden you're thinking, man, that's the worst news in the world. Well, is it really? We need to be thankful that we have that hope, to where to us, death is just the way to get where we've been wanting to go for a long time. Amen? And I'm thankful that we have that hope. And again, that hope's only given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Because if he hadn't have died on the cross for us, folks, we would have no hope, and we would be right to fear our death. But we don't have to fear as Christians. What we do need to do is go out there and tell more people about Jesus Christ, because there are people dying every single day. And so each one of us needs to be more thankful than we've ever been before. And we need to be thankful for the things that we mentioned tonight. I mean, certainly all those things are very, very important, all of them. And I'm thankful for the same things that all of you are. But we need to make sure that we focus on the things that are unchanging, the things that are permanent, that we're always going to have, regardless if the world changes or if politics changes or things go bad or any of those things. If you're focused on the things that are permanent, you'll always be thankful. But if you focus on the things that are temporary, the things of this world, it's just a matter of time to where your thankfulness is going to be a thing of the past. I don't know about you, but I've seen Christians all Christians are greatly blessed, but I've seen Christians who were greatly blessed, and then all of it took was one bad thing to happen, and all of a sudden they fell out of church, they hated God, didn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. You know what the problem was? They were focusing on the wrong things. They were looking at the things of this world. They were looking at the things, like I said, those things that are temporary. And all of a sudden, when those things were taken away, they had nothing to be thankful for anymore. We got to be thankful for those things that are permanent. We got to be thankful for Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and stop there tonight. And I am going to go ahead and do the prayer requests.